is not only Parashat B'Shalach. How do we always refer to Parashat B'Shalach? It's Shabbos Shira. Shabbos Shira. Oz Yashir Moshe Uvenei Yisrael Tashira Azot Lashem Limar. It's Shabbos Shira. And if Shabbos Shira is here, then Tu B'Shvat can't be far away. And next week will be Tu B'Shvat. Now, why might one choose to want to be a Sephardi? Because this is, I think, the longest Haftorah of all, if you're an Ashkenazi like us. The Haftorah, according to Ashkenazim, are both sides of the page, chapters 4 and 5 of Sefer Shoftim. If you are a Sephardi, then you don't have to read chapter 4, the first side of the page. The Haftorah is only chapter 5, the 31 psukim of the Shira, the song that was sung by Devorah. But I think I'm going to take a position where I believe Ashkenazim were right. Not only that, I think I'm going to take a position that is, to the best of my mind, completely different than what anybody else says about this Haftarah. It's going to be so radically different that you're going to thank your lucky stars you decided not to go to Eilat this week, or you're not going to Modi'in, but you stayed here. And then later you'll tell the ones who went they should eat their hearts out, you understand? Okay. That's, of course, being said with love and affection. Okay. Obviously, there's a Shira, a magnificent Shira, majestic song of Moshe and Klal Yisrael in the Sedra, and the Haftarah is the magnificent and majestic song of Devorah and Barak ben Avi Noam. Shira here, Shira there. You can't miss it. It's so clear that this is the relationship between the two. Furthermore, there are even terms in the story. Now, the first page, first side, chapter 4, is the story, the events. Chapter 5 is the song that is sung after it's all over and Klal Yisrael emerges victorious. It's all taking place in the period of the Shoftim, the period of the judges. The one who, in a sense, rules Eretz Canaan, Eretz Yisrael, and the one who oppresses and persecutes the Jewish people is Yovin, the king of Canaan. And he has a commander-in-chief by the name of Sisra. And there is absolutely, Klal Yisrael are suffering 20 years under the heel of Yovin and Sisra. Beginning of chapter 5, we'll read a few psukim to get into it. Then we're going to do a little skipping around. Just always hold the finger and we'll move. I'll tell you where we move. Dvorah isha nevia, eshet lapidot. Dvorah was a woman who was a prophetess. She was the wife of Lapidot. Even though there are others who say, I see the English, that's a very nice translation. A fiery woman? A fiery woman? A lapid is a torch. The Gemara says she was called Eshet Lapidot because she made wicks for the menorah in the Mishkan. But I didn't notice the English. Eshet Lapidot, a fiery, fiery woman. I mean, obviously they couldn't say Eshet Lapidot, that she was married to somebody by the name of Lapidot, because Chazal tell us that her husband was Barak ben Avinoam, the one whom she is going to send out to war against Yovan, the king of Canaan. Anyway, she was a prophetess, a fiery woman. He shoftai Yisrael. She was also a judge, and she was judging Israel b'etahi at that time. And of course, there are those who see a great deal of significance to the fact that women figures so prominently in the Haftarah. In the Parsha, there's only one pasuk that talks about a woman, and that is after the Shira. It says, "Vatikach Miriam Hanivyah, Achos Aaron, Miriam the prophetess." Prophetess here, prophetess there. Woman here, woman there. Woman here sings, woman there sings. You see, you're getting all of these amazing connections between the Seder and the Haftarah. Of course, in the Haftarah, there are going to be another two women that are going to figure prominently. The victory, the ultimate victory, is going to come through the hands of Ya'el, Eshet Chever HaKeni. She is the one to whom Sisera is going to flee from the field of battle, going to come to her tent, and he's going to ask her to stand guard and let nobody know that he's hiding there. Here is this, I get the picture of, I always wonder, what was the look on Saddam Hussein's face when they finally dig him up in his loch over there? Like, you know, here is the man who killed, who tortured, who drove a world crazy, and then they find him sort of crouching over there like a rat. It must have been a very fascinating look on his face. Whoops, you know, like, you caught me, big conqueror, big hero. She runs, at least he runs to the tent of Ya'el. He tells her to make sure that nobody finds him here, and he's exhausted from battle. He asks for water. We'll see, he asks for water. She gives him milk. It makes him drowsy. She covers him with a blanket, and then as he falls asleep, she takes the stake of the tent, and she takes a hammer, very unladylike way to kill. I mean, a woman most probably would put some arsenic into the milk, but she takes this stake, puts it here on his forehead, bangs through his head, and it goes through his head into the ground, so that the real victory, the destruction of the enemy, comes through Ya'el. So we have Devorah in the Haftarah, we have Ya'el in the Haftarah, and then there's going to be another very fascinating woman whose name we don't know, and we're not even interested in what her name is, the mother of Sisera. At the end of the Shira, we're going to read those psukim. The end of the Shira, the mother of Sisera is looking out the window, waiting for her mijinical, her yingale, to come back from the field of battle, and it seems he's a bit delayed. It's a bit delayed. Another will be here soon, and then of course her ladies in waiting around her assure her it's all okay. It's all okay. There's so much loot, and there's so much spoil, and there's so much booty. It's taking him a little longer, and they even describe that each soldier is taking a few Jewish women captive with him, so it takes a little time. He'll be here soon. He'll be here soon. But she's moaning, because maybe she already has that mother's feeling in the pit of her being that he's not coming home. Fascinating. We'll see what happens there. But here we have three women. And there are those, of course, who get very excited about the idea that there are three women in the Haftarah. You know, three women in the Haftarah. I have nothing against women. That's fine. But that's certainly not the point of the Haftarah. That's not the point. You have Miriam here, and you have Devorah, Ya'el, and the unnamed mother of Sisera, because she has no name. The fact is that she will be obliterated with her son. Anyway, Dvorah Isha Nevi'ah Eshet Lapidot, he shoftot Yisrael Beita, she judged Israel at that time. This is, of course, fascinating. She's not only a prophetess, she's also a judge. V'hi Yoshevet Tachat Tomer Dvorah, she sat under the palm tree of Dvorah. Dvorah's palm tree. Bein HaRamah Beit Beitel B'Har Ephraim. It was between a place called Ramah and Beitel in the mountains of Ephraim. Vayalu Eileh B'nei Yisrael HaMishpat, and the children of Israel went up to her for judgment. Vatishlach, she sent, and she called to Barak ben Avinoam from Kedesh Naphtali, and she said, Vatamir Eloh Halo Tziva Hashem Elokei Yisrael, the God of Israel has commanded, Leich go umashach tavahar tavor, draw your people, your men, tahar tavor. V'lokarton ko, you should take with you aseret alafimish, 10,000 men, mibnei Naphtali, umibnei Zvulun, and we're going to go to war against an enemy, by the way, who is far, far mightier and powerful and numerous than his 10,000 men. I am going to bring out to you the enemy. I'm going to bring them to Nachal Kishon at Sisra Sartzvor Yavin. Sisra, the commander in chief of the forces of Yavin, Vet Rigbo and his chariots, Ves Hamono and his masses, Unisatiu Biodecha, and I'm going to give him into your hands. So, by the way, there are going to be a lot of other similarities here. Paro was going to come with 600 chariots. Sisra is going to have 900 chariots. How do you think they're going to be destroyed? They're going to be brought down to Nachal Kishon. You know what's going to happen? The Nachal, all of a sudden, is going to erupt into a tidal wave and is going to drown them. All right? Water here, water there. Another major connection. What we have chariots and chariots. We have drowning and drowning. It's amazing. It's amazing. The Haftarah is so suited to the Sedra. Do you detect a little bit of sarcasm in what I'm saying? It got across? Good. Good. Barak said to her, if you come with me, I will go. If you don't go with me, I'm not going. She said, I'm going to go with you, but you have to know, this is not going to be your glory, the road that you take. God is going to give Sisra into the hands of a woman. Now you might think that Barak ben Avinoam is upset by this. Oh, shucks. If I wouldn't have asked her to come with me, you know, maybe Sisra would have been given into my hands. That's really not the way to look at it. He doesn't care. He's not concerned with the glory of war. He wants to be the instrument of God to save the Jewish people. There are times that you have to go out to war to save Jewish people. Klal Yisrael needs security. I better stop now before I start describing to you the day that I spent in Sderot yesterday. It was quite an experience. I spent the day in Sderot. Okay. These are our fellow Jews who death is raining down upon them. It's unbelievable. All right, shut. Sinishta yetzt. Okay. Maybe I'll find another pasuk in the Haftarah later, and then I'll let it all out. Okay. All right. So he doesn't mind. That's okay. Batokom Dvorah Atelich and Barak Kadesha, and Dvorah got up and she went with Barak to Kadesh. Vayazig Barak et Zvulun vet Naphtali. Barak called together Zvulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and Vayal Baraglo following him Asteret Alfei Ish, 10,000 men. Vatali Mo Devorah, and Devorah went with him out to battle. Now you have to get the geographic picture. Nachal Kishon begins near Haifa and goes into Emek Yisrael. What's the eastern end of Emek Yisrael? You should know that already so well. You know about Afula, right? Okay. And you know near Afula is Shunem. But before you get to Afula Har Tabor, Mount Tabor. We had it in the Haftarah last week. Just as Tabor is a mountain and the Carmel goes down to the sea, so the forces of Barak, the 10,000 men, are coming down Har Tabor and they're moving westward toward the Mediterranean. The forces of Sisera are going to be brought to the borders of the boundaries, the banks of Nachal Kishon. And then in the middle, Pasuk 11, they tell us that there had been a family, Chever HaKeni, the family of Yitro, who we're going to hear about the next week, Sedra. His family entered Eretz Yisrael some years after Yoshua entered. Most of them lived in Yericho, but there had been one family, one part of the family, that moved up and lived in the general area of where the battle was going to take place. And of course there is a woman by the name of Yael, who is Eshet Chever HaKeni, the wife of Chever, who's a Keni, one of the family of Yitro. The Chever HaKeni, Nifrad Mikayin, Mibnei Chovav Chotein Moshe, from the sons of Chovav Chotein, Vayet Ohalo, his tent was until Elon Betzananim, which is near Kadesh. Anyway, we have to move quickly. Sisera is told that Barak ben Avinom has gone up to Har Tabor. Sisera gathers his forces, all of his chariots, 900 chariots of metal, of steel, and all of the people who were with him, they came from Charoshet HaGoyim, a place called Charoshet HaGoyim, the forest of Goyim, and down to Nachal Kishon. Pasuk 14, Dvorah says to Barak, "Come, arise, this is the day that God has given you Sisera into your hands. Halo Hashem Yatzol Avarecho, God has gone out before you." Barak went down quickly from Mount Tabor, 10,000 men behind him. And now the battle begins. But what an amazing battle it is. Vayoham Hashem et Sisera. Vayoham Hashem Sisera, and Hashem confounded Sisera. By the way, here, a word that's used, precisely the same word, is used in the Sedra with regard to the forces of Paro as they start entering the Red Sea. Vayom Hashem et Sisera ve kol arecha ve kol amachna, all of the chariots, the whole camp, by the sword before Barak. And Barak is the one who's fighting. You don't see God's hand here. You know who God's hand is? The sword of Barak and his 10,000 men. Now imagine yourself as a correspondent. Now I'm not talking about a correspondent for Hatzofer. Correspondent for Hatzofer would say, Pashit, he saw God here, he saw God there. A correspondent for Haaretz. All right? Correspondent for Haaretz. The soldiers, Barak and his soldiers, went in there with their swords flashing and they destroyed the enemy. Truth is, we would have really wanted them to negotiate with Yavin and Sisera first, you know. But all right, they didn't negotiate, and there they went, and they slaughtered them. They slaughtered them. Anyway, and they destroyed the whole camp by the sword. Vayeded Sisera me'al ha'merkavah. Sisera got off his chariot and he fled by foot. Barak pursued the chariots, and after the camp, he chased them all the way to Charoshet HaGoyim, and the whole camp of Sisera fell by the sword. Lo nishar ad echad. Same phrase appears in the Sedra with regard to Egypt. Lo nishar ad echad. None were remained. Of course, there's a Maimon Chazal that says lo nishar. Only one remained, and that was Paro, in order that Paro should sing the praises of God. Do you see how many connections we have already between the Sedra and the Haftarah? It's awesome. So I'll let you in on what I have to say. None of them are the reason for the Haftarah. How do you like that? None of them are the reason for the Haftarah. Haftarah is chosen for a completely different reason. Before you think of disagreeing with me, wait till I'm finished. Anyway, then Sisera, then comes the rest of the story. Sisera flees to the tent of Yael, Eshet Chever Akeni. She goes out and she tells him, don't be afraid, come in. She gives him the milk to drink. She puts him into bed, covers him with a... all these things. Anyway, the end is that in Pasuk 22, after she kills him, Barak pursued Sisera, and Yoel went out toward him, and she told him, come, and I will show you your enemy. And there he sees, she brings him into the tent, and she sees Sisera dead. Pasuk 23 and 24, Vayachne Elokim b'yom ahu, God subjugated on that day Yavin, the king of Canaan, before the children of Israel. The hand of Israel continued to be strong and mighty over Yavin, king of Canaan, until they destroyed Yavin, Melech Canaan. The great threat. The great threat that for 20 years had caused so much pain and so much suffering, it was all over. That's the story. The next page is the Shira. I think it's about time to tell you what I think it's all about. Well, here I'm just going to read just a few sentences from the Art Scroll Chumash, and this is not being read in Chas V'Shalom in any way in order to criticize. And I just disagree, and what they say is really said by nearly all of the Mefarshim. It's just not what I'm going to say. The events described in the Haftarah are strikingly similar to those of the Sedra. In both cases, Israel was suffering under an oppressive ruler whose reign was becoming increasingly cruel. Then God sent a savior. The oppressors were humbled and destroyed by indisputable miracles, and the nation was elevated to a new plane of recognition of God and devotion to his service. Indisputable miracles? Wait a minute. I think that's disputable. That's disputable. We'll see. And then finally, the prophet, who was the instrument of God's intervention, sang a divinely inspired song of praise. And then Moshe, the Savior, divine miracles, and he sings a song. There is another similarity. Both cases illustrate the faith and holiness of Jewish women. That'll go over well, you know, in Beis Yaakov someplace. Both cases illustrate the faith and holiness of Jewish women. Not that I'm opposed to it. I think it's unnecessary. Torah was never down on women. We don't need any kind of apologetics. In Egypt, Yocheved and Miriam were instrumental in saving the life of the infant Moses. And after the splitting of the sea, the Jewish women led by Miriam were ready with drums to sing their own song of praise, because there was no doubt in their minds that God would perform miracles for his people. In the Haftarah, Deborah was the prime mover in the battle and in the song. All right, I think that's the all that we need right now. My approach is the following. In the Sedra, Jews face a threat twice. At the beginning of the Sedra and the end of the Sedra. At the beginning of the Sedra, the threat, the Egyptians. Jews are on the beach of the Red Sea. It's nighttime, the dark, foreboding, ominous sea before them. And the hoofbeats of 600 chariots and tens of thousands of men coming. And there they are, caught on the beach. We're talking about a people that may absolutely be destroyed right there on the beach. What happens? Klal Yisrael cries out to God. They even begin complaining. I mean, it's always a fascinating scene to me. Here is a grave threat, and on the beach, Jews are disagreeing. I think we should talk. I think we should scream. I think we should negotiate. I think we should commit suicide in the sea. There were those who said, let's go back to Egypt. You know, a very familiar scene going on in the dark of night on the beach. And then comes the great miracle. God tells Moshe, go, move. And they travel. And then comes the song. But then there's a second. There's a second battle in the Sedra. Nobody has talked about the second battle. Vayavo Amalek. Amalek, at the end of the Sedra, comes Vayilachem im Yisrael b'Refidim, and he wages war with the Jewish people in Refidim. Watch the responses now. No crying. No screaming. No panic. Vayom Moshe. Moshe says to Yehoshua, Bechar lanu anoshim, choose men. Vetzei hilachim b'Amalek, you go out and wage war with Amalek. Tomorrow I'm going to be at the top of the mountain. I'm going to pray. Fight. Yehoshua goes out and he fights. And he weakens Amalek. Then there's going to be another day. There will be another battle against Amalek. And another battle against Amalek. And as the Torah says at the end of the Sedra, there's going to be an ongoing battle between God and the forces of evil, door to door for all generations. Two completely different responses. Nobody is panicking over here. They take the weapons that they came out of Egypt with and they go out and they fight. Then there's another fascinating thing at the very end of the Sedra, and this is also a problem. It says, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, God said to Moshe, write this, Ksov zo zikonah v'sefer, write this as a memory in a sefer and place it in the ears of Yeshua. Kimacho emcha, I am going to destroy the memory as zecher Amalek mitachat hashamayim. Vayiven Moshe mizbeach, Moshe built an altar. Vayikro shmo, and he called the name of the altar, Hashem Nisi, God is my miracle. Vayomer, and he said, Kiyad al kes, yah, the throne of God is not going to be complete until we destroy Amalek. Milchom al Hashem b'Amalek midor dor. There's going to be a war waged against Amalek from all generations. Maybe one question. We'll be able to put things into perspective. After the battle, after the Yam Suf, why doesn't Moshe build a mizbeach? Why doesn't he build an altar as he does here? Build an altar and call the altar Hashem Nisi, God is my miracle. Why? Why not? Quite some years ago, I said in a different shiur, famous question that was asked by Reb Levi Yitzchok Mibarditchev. Reb Levi Yitzchok Mibarditchev asked the following question. Why do we say Al HaNisim on Chanukah and Purim, and we don't say Al HaNisim on Pesach? Are the miracles of Chanukah and Purim any less than the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Kriyas Yamsuf, what are you talking about? There's nothing like Kriyas Yamsuf. Rabbi Levi Yitzchok Mibarditchev's answer is the following. That we have to be able to differentiate between two terms. One term is Nes, miracle, and the other is Pele. A Pele is a wonder. Lo'ose nifla'ot gedolot lepato. What's the difference between Nes and Pele? Pele is something where God's hand is so obvious. There's no doubt in the mind of anyone. The Yamsuf, drowns all of the Egyptians. Nobody lifted a finger. And here, Klal Yisrael walked through on dry land, and all of a sudden, the dry land is now covered with water and destroys the enemy. It's a Pele. You don't have to go to anybody and tell them this was the hand of God. Even Shifcha, Rashi says, even a maidservant at the Yamsuf was able to say, Zekeli van Veyu, this is my God. She was able to point. They saw God at the Yamsuf. That's a Pele. A Nes is something that happens camouflaged within nature. There's a battle. And we win. And it may be interpreted in one of a number of ways. Let's use the example again. The Hatzofer would say, Nes Gadol Hayapo, big black letters, Nes Gadol Hayapo, there was a great miracle here. The Haaretz, of course, would say, brilliant Israeli commanders, Merkava tanks, F-16s, we vanquished the enemy. A Nes is open to interpretation, is open to editorial comment. There are those who will see the hand of God and those who won't see the hand of God. Chanukah and Purim were Nisim. And you know what the operative mitzvah of Chanukah and Purim is? Pirsume Nisa. Pirsume Nisa is to make the Nes known. We fulfill the mitzvahs of Chanukah and Purim in order to say, yes, this was the hand of God. Because God is in concealment. His name doesn't even appear in Megillat Esther. The struggle of Chashmonoim. So I never knew. As a little child in yeshiva, I learned the song. And I didn't know that the song was absolute kvira. How does it go? Tim, 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 tim. Mi yimalel gvurot Yisrael otam mi yem na. That was not bad. Who can relate the might of Israel? It's a takeoff on a pasuk, mi yimalel gvurot Hashem. They took a pasuk and destroyed it. And we learned as children, even yeshiva, the mighty Maccabees. The mighty Maccabees. What mighty Maccabees? The Rebbe Yisrael was with them. But it's open to editorial comment. You know what Moshe Rabbeinu does? After the Kriyas Yamsuf, there is no necessity to build a Mizbeach and call it Hashem what? It wasn't a Nes, it was a Pele. A Pele, you don't have to tell anybody, Hashem Pili, God is my wonder. It's clear that it's the act of God. But when a Nes takes place, Yehoshua and his men, chosen men, go out to war against Amalek, and they return victorious. Here we have to know, that this is the hand of God, and it's not the hand of man. The whole Haftorah is related to the end of the Sedra, because in chapter 4 that we once just learned, it was a war of men against men. And what Moshe does at the end of the Sedra, and he tells us that God is the one who created the miracle of the victory over Amalek. Devorah is going to sing a song and tell them, Chevre, you should know, our 10,000 men vanquished the forces of Sisera. That was the hand of God. The Shira of Devorah is completely different than the Shira of Moshe. The Shira of Moshe is about a Pele. It's related to what happened to the Egyptians. The Shira of Devorah is the song of Milchemet Amalek and every other war that Jews are going to wage against the enemies of Israel. Her Shira is to bring to their attention, Chevre, you should know, there was a Nes here. Her Shira is Pirsumei Nisa. That's what it's all about. The whole Haftorah is related to the last 7-8 psukim in the Sedra. Not related to Shiras Moshe. Sure, there are fascinating similarities, but that wasn't the point. They have to be told that this is what God wrought for us. That's what Devorah is doing. I had once said about that about that, Reb Levi Yitzchok Mibarditchev, where he defines the difference between Nes and Pele, that Pele is that in which God clearly appears. We see him. Nobody has to tell us that it's God. And in Nes, God is in concealment. So I once said, though I am not a Hasidic Rebbe, the gematria, the numerical value of Nes is Nun is 50 and Samach is 60. 50 and 60 equals what? 110. Pele, Pei is 80, Lamed is 30, that's 110, and there's an Aleph. Pele is one number more than Nes. You know what Pele is? The Echad, the Aleph. God is clearly seen. In Nes, he is in concealment. You shouldn't come and give me kvitlach because of that. Or eat my shirayim, you understand? Two different worlds. Two different ideas. Two different concepts. Shiras Dvora has nothing to do with Shiras Moshe. Regardless of all of the similarities. And it's not because it's a woman. That's not what it's all about. A nes, there where God acts in concealment, we have to let the Jewish people know it's Yad Hashem, this is the hand of God. That's what she's singing about. And you know what she's going to say? First of all, I have to prove. Don't I have to prove what I said is true? You're just going to take it just like that? So I'll show you. I'm going to prove it to you. So there, on the second side, go about one third of the way down. Pasuk Yud Dalid. At this point, Devorah begins to talk about the battles of Israel. Mini Ephraim. The Mefarshim say, Rashi says, the Gemara says, from Ephraim came Shorsham Ba'amalek, whose root was in Amalek. The English says, from Ephraim, whose root is in Joshua, the conqueror of Amalek. The first struggle that Devorah mentions is Yahushua against Amalek. Acharecho, and you know who came afterwards? Binyamin. Who was the next one to wage war with Amalek? Shaul, from the tribe of Binyamin. Acharecho, after Yahushua, you know who came to wage war with Amalek? The next one who came to wage war was Binyamin with all of his forces. Mini Mochir Yardu Mechokikim. Mochir, at the end of Torah, there we're told a story that Mochir, the son of Menashe, went and waged war to conquer the Golan Babashan. These were all battles in which one could not see the hand of God clearly. And she's telling us, you should know, this is all Yad Hashem. She doesn't mention Kriyas Yamsuf at all. She doesn't mention Mitzrayim at all. Do you know where her description of Jewish history begins? If you'll take a look at the first group of lines, Pasuk Dalet, that is underlined. Hashem b'tzeitcha miseyer, God, when you left Seir b'tzadcha, when you marched mistei Edom, from the field of Edom. You know what she's describing? God coming to Sinai to give Torah. God went to the nations of the world and offered them Torah before he offered Torah to the Jewish people. Hashem b'tzeitcha miseyer, when you left Seir, b'tzadcha, when you marched mistei Edom, Eretz Rasha, the world trembled, gam shamayim natafu, the heavens began to drip, gam avim natfumayim, the clouds began to drip with water, horim nozlu mipnei Hashem, mountains drip before God, zeh Sinai mipnei Hashem. That's Sinai. You know what happens at Sinai? And this already I relate to some shir that I said some years ago as well. I'm not going to go into it at length, but simply in one sentence. Something happened at Sinai. Something very significant happened at Sinai. At Sinai, God appeared to the Jewish people. But he will never do that again until the end of history. God came down from the mountain and spoke to his people. And then the divine presence ascended, went heavenward. The Chav said this in Ishi once. From that moment on and further, the task of revealing God in the world is the task of the Jewish people. He's not going to come down and show himself in all of his divine glory. No, no. That's going to be our job. Zeh Sinai. From Sinai on and further, we're the ones that are supposed to reveal the existence of God in the world. I remember the Chav saying, a Jew takes a glass of water into his hand and he says, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you God, Elokeinu, our God, Melech Ha'olam, the King of the whole universe. Shehakol, everything, Nihyo Bidvaro, came into existence through his word. You know what the Jew is doing when he says a bracha? He's revealing the existence of God in this cup of water. That's our responsibility in the world. We're the ones who march through history bearing a message that there's a God and God is but one. That's what we are. That's what Devorah is doing. Devorah is making it clear there was a victory. We sent 10,000 of our best men. We sent the Palmach in. Or we sent Egoz in. We sent the top fellas that we have. What mighty warriors. And it's not they who won the day. Vahashem, the Rebbeinu, is the one who won the day. And then back to Pasuk Yud Daled. Okay, so she begins to describe the battles, beginning with the battle of Amalek. Mini Ephraim Shorsham Amalek, here is where the Sedra and the Haftorah meet. They don't meet at the Yam Suf. The Yam Suf is far beyond anything that the Dvorah is speaking about. They meet at that Pasuk. Then there are going to be some... you can see that we're talking about men. There's some difficult things she's going to say about those who remained indifferent to the plight of their fellow Jews and didn't come to wage war. There were tribes that simply didn't come. They knew that the battle was joined and they didn't come. And then at the end of Pasuk 15, she says, "Biflagot Reuven gedolim chikikeleiv." The withdrawal of Reuven requires great heartfelt contemplation. The disengagement of Reuven is something that calls for a great deal of understanding. Yes. The Mefarshim asks precisely the question that you asked. The question that she asked is, at the very beginning of the story, it is Devorah who tells Barak to go bring soldiers from Zvulun and Naphtali. So Zvulun and Naphtali came. So what kind of complaint can you have that Reuven didn't come? So you know what she's saying? What she's saying is, Klal Yisrael is in grave danger. Should we send you an invitation? You are cordially invited to please join us in this struggle against our Fashlugana enemies. When it's a matter of Klal Yisrael that are in grave danger, you know what you have to do? You have to take the initiative and come. That's what she's saying. And therefore, all those who didn't come, she's even going to curse the people of the city Meroz, who happen to have been not far from the scene of battle. They weren't from Zvulun and Naphtali. But so what? This is the struggle of one Jew is the struggle of all Jews. There's no such thing, because I live in Tzfon Tel Aviv, so Sderot doesn't mean anything to me. There's no such thing. What are you talking about? Why didn't you come? There was only one member of Knesset from Labor that was there. Amir Peretz. He lives there. That's exactly what I was going to say. He lives there. He lives there. And they kept quoting him all morning on the radio. Boy, if I would tell you what took place with him there, we don't have leaders. I'm going to keep quiet. He said such knowledge, Kaito, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Thank God Effie Eitan was there. Spoke very nicely. And the whole Mavdal, all of the members of Mavdal came. Likud, I was sitting next to Uzi Landau. And the way he said hello to me, I think Uzi Landau most probably is going to tell people I was sitting next to Rabbi Gold. I mean, it was a moving, significant day. And there are those, yes, there was a whole busload of girls that came from Midrash at Lindenbaum. His Dahot, there must have been many others. There were Yeshiva Gach, there were all sorts of people. There should have been 100,000 people that came to Sderot. All right, not everybody. Next pasuk, beautiful pasuk about Reuven. Lomo yoshafta bein hamishpatayim. Pasuk 16. Underlined. Lomo yoshafta bein hamishpatayim. Why did you remain sitting between the boundary lines? Lishmo ashrikot atarim, to hear the bleeding of the flax. Now, she's sort of painting the picture of Reuven, life going on as usual, you understand? So pastoral. They're tending their flax, and Jews are sacrificing their lives a few miles away. Pretty scary. Liflagot Reuven gedolim chikrei lev. That Reuven withdrew, and she calls it withdrawing or separating. Liflagot, miflaga, separate. You should have come. Gilad be'Eivor HaYarden shachein. Gilad stayed on the Eivor HaYarden, he didn't come. V'don, lama yagur aniyot. Don had taken his wealth and put it on ships because he wanted to get it out of the country so it shouldn't fall to the hands of the enemy. We don't run. We don't make sure that our wealth is in a Swiss bank. Klal Yisrael is in grave danger. Then you're supposed to be there. Zvulun am chedef nafsho lamut. Zvulun is the one of people that risked its life even if it would have meant death. And Naphtali upon the heights of the field. Bo Malachim Nilchamu. I think that this pasuk is maybe Devorah's unkindest cut of all. To the aid of the enemy, why did Goyim come? Did Goyim come? Goyim from all over. There's a battle against the Jews. They came. They came to be human shields for Sisera, you understand? They went to see Sisera in Ramallah. Goyim can do that. Goyim came to help out their fellow Goyim, and there were Jews who couldn't bother. Quite a terrible, terrible condemnation. Min Shamayim, so you know what? And it's even worse. I'm sorry. Bo Malachim Nilchamu. The kings came and waged war. Oz Nilchamu Malchi Knan. The kings of Knan. Remember, the one who was persecuting the Jewish people was one. Yavin Melech Knan. But in the battle, kings plural. Betanoch Almei Megiddo. Remember, you have the whole picture. If you have the map in your head, remember, you're going from Haifa all the way to Tavor and Afula, there you have all of these places, Tanach and May Megiddo and Kishon, all of these places are there. They're still on the map. Ad Hayom Hazeh, Ad Hayom Hazeh. Oz Nilchemu Malchi Knan Betam. Betza Kesef Lo Lokohu. They didn't even take money for coming. They came to wage war against the Jewish people free of charge. So you know what? Min Shamayim Nilchamu. From heaven they waged war. This is her message. You think this was a war of men against men? It was a war of God and men against men. She's talking about the classic battles of Jews throughout all of history. It's God and man. She's talking about a nes. She's fulfilling the mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisa. It's all related to the battle against Amalek at the end of the Sedra. Nothing to do with the beginning of the Sedra, despite all of the similarities. Nachal Kishon Gerofam, the very heavens, the stars waged war with Sisra. The river of Kishon just swept them away. Nachal Kedumim, Nachal Kishon, Tidrichi Nafshios, marching. That river, that brook, that ancient brook, marching with great strength. The last part of the Haftorah, she blesses Yael. Well, we did have an ally. The ally, I'm not even sure to what extent the ally was Jewish. Were they Megayer? There is a Rashi in Chumash that says that Yitro went home to be Megayer the people of his family. In other words, sort of the outsider, the newcomer, the one who wasn't really part of the Klal Yisrael. They had good relations with Yovin and Sisra. And they're the ones. Yael is the one who killed him. Then the great pasuk, pasuk 28. Ba'ad ha'chalon nishkafa, vatiyabed ein Sisra. Through the window she looked, and the mother of Sisra whimpered. Ba'ad ha'eshnab, through the an eshnab sort of is, you know, in palaces or in fortresses, these small windows. If you go to the bank, the window by the teller is called an eshnab. She's looking out over there. Yingala should come home, and then they tell her, "Don't worry, it's all going to be okay." The Rav in a few places, and I'm mamish not going to do justice. I'm not going to do justice, but the Rav describes the difference between bechi, crying, and yevova, whimpering. Rachel mivaka alboneha. Rachel cries for her children. The mother of Sisra whimpers. Where is the word yevova used, and where does the mother of Sisra become an important halachic consideration? Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah says that we blow 100 blasts of the shofar because the mother of Sisra whimpered 100 times. What does it mean? What does the Gemara mean? There's a big difference between Bechia of Rachel and the whimpering of the mother of Amalek. The Bechia, the crying of Rachel, is therapeutic. It cleanses the neshama. There are times after a good cry, we feel so much better. And what does Rachel gain by her crying? The unbelievable promise. Rachel, I promise you, v'shavu bonim l'gvulam, your children are going to return to Eretz Yisrael. There isn't the slightest hint of despair in the crying of Rachel. It's a crying of greatness. The whimper of the mother of Amalek is total despair. She raised this Rasha. She reveled in his evil. But somewhere in the back of her mind, she was frightened that someday, he may never return. When she looks out the window, she's different than Rachel. Rachel knows there's a God. Rachel knows who to pray to. She knows how to pray. The mother of Sisera doesn't know of God, doesn't know how to pray, doesn't have anything or anybody to pray to. All she can do is whimper. There's the sound of crying, and there's the primeval sound of the hyena, the animal crying out in the forest. The cry of the animal is no more than a cry of pain, of despair, of loneliness. That's the mother of Sisra. It's an animal. It's an animal cry of absolute total despair. Rachel, gut ausgewählt, a jüdische Mama, you understand. I always say, I remember when I was a little boy, Williamsburg, davening Yeshiva Torah Das, 207 Wilson Street, and Lashoni Yom Kippur, the moment you would come to Nisana Tekef, you would hear the whole women's section crying. Uncontrollable crying. We've lost the art of crying. We push it, lost the art. Sich gut ausweinen. Do you know what it does? I think that as we grow older, it becomes easier. I've been a tough guy for a good part of my life. I can be brought either to my eyes tearing or getting choked up much, much easier now than I ever was. My wife is always amazed. Boy, you got feelings, you know. She not feelings. I see an anacle, I can get all choked up. Okay? Imo de Sisra, the mother of Sisra, is absolute animal despair, evil, and she knows already, regardless of the fact that her women, her ladies in waiting around her, are telling her, it's okay, he's going to come home. Nah. She knows already, the wages of evil are destruction. She knows it. And then, oh, the last pasuk has to be said over and over again. You have to learn this last pasuk. Kain yovdu kol oyevecho Hashem, so shall be destroyed all of your enemies, O God. Va'ohavav, and those who love God, kitzei tashemesh bigvurato, like the sun that comes out in all of its strength. There's a dawn of a new day for those who love God, and the enemies of God, meaning the enemies of Jewish people, would be destroyed. So that's my approach to this Haftarah. Nothing to do with Oz Yashir. It's not Shira here, Shira there, chariots here, chariots there, water here, water there. No. It's Muhammad Amalek, which is the prototype of every struggle Jews will have throughout all of history. Huh? Oh, no. Not because we have to remember the... Because the Gemara says that Trua... The Gemara doesn't know what Trua is. The Gemara says Trua is Yevava. And the net lesson of hers is that if you're not connected to God, you will not be Zeuche de Bechia. If you're not connected to the Rabbein Shem, if you don't do tshuva, you're going to, God forbid, end up with your vava. You won't know who to turn to and what to do. That's the message of Ima the Sisra. Yeah. Well, the trua is a significant part. Every trua, everything is trua. Every trua requires a tekiah before and a tekiah after.